Good morning and welcome to All Things Jessamine. I'm Doug Fain. On today's show, we're going to be talking about another educator. This gentleman served as our superintendent for many years. His name was Hugh Adams, most known as Buddy Adams. We'll be talking to his wife, Mary Helen, about his life and his involvement in the Jessamine County Schools, and we'll do that right after this word from our sponsor, the Farmers Bank of Jessamine County.
In 1934, a brand new house cost about $6,000. The cost of a gallon of gas was 10 cents. And in 1934, Farmers Bank of Jessamine County opened their doors at 200 North Main Street in Nicholasville. And they've been there ever since. The times may have changed, but Farmers Bank is still here. Still proud to be the only locally owned and locally operated bank in Jessamine County. Banking with friends and neighbors. Farmers Bank, equal housing lender. Member FDIC.
Good morning and welcome to All Things Jessamine. Glad to have you on this Saturday morning as we continue to talk about people and places and things in Jessamine County, some years back and some current. We're going to go years back on today's program, and we're going to talk about a gentleman who was in our education system here in our county. In fact, he went on to be superintendent for many years. His name was Hugh Adams, but most people knew him as Buddy. And with me today on the phone is his wife, Mary Helen, and she's going to talk about Buddy and their family and his contribution to our education system. Good morning, Mary.
Good morning.
So glad to have you along and be able to talk about Buddy and what he meant to a lot of people who listen to our program. I guess the best way to start is to talk about how he got started. And I'm not talking about education. I'm talking about in this world. Can you tell us where he was born, who his parents were, who his family was, and how things like that?
He was born on December the 10th, 1924. And his father was Hugh C. Adams, a senior,
mm-hmm.
And his mother was Alice Jane Adams, who was a registered nurse.
And where did they live? Where was he born?
Hopkinsville, Kentucky.
Hopkinsville. Now, did he have a big family of brothers and sisters?
He had one sister, Margaret. We called her Peggy, and she was 2 years older than Buddy.
Now, take us on up his life there. He was born in Hopkinsville. Where did he go to high school and college?
He went to high school in Hopkinsville.
Yeah.
His way from Hopkinsville High. And then he went 1 year to Eastern Kentucky University. And then he went into the service.
Okay, so he served in the military. And where was that?
Yes. He served mostly in Maine and Bangor, Maine, and Potsdam, New York, and I didn't know him then, but he's told me all these things.
Right.
And then after the war was over, he was sent to Hawaii.
Oh, well, that's a shame. It's a shame you didn't know him then, right?
No, I didn't know him. I had.
Where did he go to college?
Transylvania.
And was that prior to you?
Oh, I met him at Transylvania. I was already there at Transylvania.
Okay, so that's how you two got together. And was it one of those love at first sight kind of deals? Or?
No, it really was a little delayed reaction.
On his part or yours?
Yeah. But anyway, we met in January of 46.
Yeah.
When he came to Transy, and I went in 45.
Now, what were you studying there?
I was studying physics and music.
Physics. Wow, I didn't know that. Now, a lot of people may or may not know. Mary Helen, of course, one of the premier organists in our county, played at the church for years and for the funeral home for years. And yes, but that was your minor. What about physics?
No, that was, truthfully, that was my major.
Oh, that was your major. Okay. Well, how did physics come about? Where in the world?
Well, I had to have a minor.
Yeah, so you just picked that one.
I had two. We were on quarters. I had two quarters of physics, and
yeah.
So I just said, I'll just go on and add some more. So I had five quarters of science and physics.
Yeah. Well, before we go on with Buddy, since you all have now met, let's talk a little bit about where you. Now, you were from Mercer County, is that right?
True. I'm from Bergen.
Bergen, a little town and still there in Mercer County.
Right.
And I'm trying to test my memory here. Van Arsdell?
Van Arsdell.
That's right. And you've got a sister that still lives here in our county.
Yes, Ruth Ann Wells.
Married to Jimmy Wells, who we've had on our program before. So you're at Transylvania, and all of a sudden you look up, or he looks up, and eyes meet, and eventually you get together and decide this is the one.
That's right.
Now,
right.
Were you married after school?
No, we were married in 47.
While you were in college?
Yes. And then we didn't graduate until 48.
Okay.
He was in, after 48, he was in his master's program at University of Kentucky.
So when
he still worked at Tracy.
When he went to Transylvania, did he go wanting to be an educator?
Yes, I think so. He took all education courses.
Yeah.
And he was always interested in school and in young people, and that was just his way. He wanted to help children.
Yeah. So he gets out of school, you get out of school, you're already married. And you, I guess, looking at each other going, now what?
He accepted a position as football coach, and he taught eighth grade history at Harrisburg High School.
We moved to
Harrisburg.
Back in your hometown, or well, close to it, Bergen.
Close to it, uh-huh.
So that was pretty nice that you got to go home pretty much.
That's right, and I started a private piano lessons class,
yeah,
there in Harrisburg and Bergen, and it was just, we just managed to get along.
Well, you know, of course, Harrisburg and Jessamine County are right next door to each other, so
that's right.
Did he go anywhere between the two?
Yes, he coached for 4 years at Bergen, for 2 years at Bergen,
mm-hmm.
And then after Bergen, he went out of education and was in the plumbing and heating business.
Really?
That's right.
Did not know that. What led him down that path?
That was in from 52.
Mm-hmm.
From 52 until 58 when we went to Jessamine County.
So you came here in 58. Did he decide that plumbing is not really what I want?
That's right.
And he got back in education. Did he get back in here in this county?
Yes, he did, with Superintendent Roberts.
Roland Roberts.
Hired him as pupil personnel.
Okay. So he kind of had the same. Was that the job that eventually Anna Roberts had?
That's right.
Okay, so back then they kind of called him a truant officer, I guess.
Yeah. Well, I guess so.
Yeah. So you decided to get back in education. Roland Roberts hired him, and let's see, I'm going to use my memory here. Roland Roberts, that was prior to C.R. Hager, I think.
Yes.
And he worked as pupil personnel. Now, take us down the road of how he got from there to the superintendent of Jessamine County Schools.
Well, the very next year, he was only 1 year as pupil personnel,
mm-hmm.
and then he was hired as principal at Jessamine County School, which was Billy Lockridge had already gone to the high school as principal. And he was an elementary principal.
Okay, so people in our community, because we have listeners who aren't originally from here, so we kind of have to give some background. Prior to about 1960, which is what you're talking about, there was basically three high schools in our community. One was in Nicholasville, one was in Wilmore, and then you had Rosenwald Dunbar in the section of town with the African Americans. And then you had Nicholasville Elementary, and I guess you had Wilmore, and then you had all the one-room schools sitting around all over the county. Is that right?
They were still there.
Yeah, but he became principal of Nicholasville
Elementary,
if you will, which I'm assuming at that time probably was grades 1 through 8.
Right.
Because the Nicholasville High School, who would be Billy Lockridge, would have been 9 through 12.
That's right.
Okay, so he was principal at Nicholasville Elementary. Now, before you go on with his education, I want to finish up a little bit more with the family. At some point in time, while he was football or plumbing or something, you all decided it's time for a family. Tell us about your kids and when they were born, where they are now.
Well, we had, Jerry was born in 1949 while we were at Harrisburg High School.
Mm-hmm.
And Cheryl wasn't born until 1954,
yeah,
which we just hadn't left yet for Chesapeake County. And then Mary Beth or Mary Elizabeth was born in 1961. So they were kind of separated.
Yeah. Let's brag a little bit about them. Tell us what they've been doing all their lives. And I know you got grandkids to talk about.
Yeah. Well, yes, I have Tootie, as we call her,
mm-hmm.
has three, and Cheryl and Jan don't have any, and Jerry and Susie do not have any, but Cheryl taught at, she started out at Boyle County, and then she came to Chesapeake County the year her father retired.
Yeah.
And then Jerry has been in different occupations, and right now Jerry is, well, he's quite taken with his malady, which is COPD.
Oh, okay.
He's on oxygen right now, but yeah, that's where I'm staying.
Oh, yeah?
Suzanne and Jerry got me over here to stay with them and sold my house.
Yeah, right.
And everything. So that's, I'm enjoying this very much.
Good. So you got the three kids, you got the three grandkids. Now,
mm-hmm.
we've established the family life. Buddy is principal at Nicholasville Elementary. How long did that last?
Yeah, to Betsy. I don't think he wasn't hired as superintendent until 67 or 68.
Now, did he go straight from principal to superintendent?
Yes, he did.
Okay, and he would have been superintendent.
Well, there was one year that he was not in the adjustment system. He was with a book, encyclopedias.
Okay.
And then he was hired the next year, which was 68, I guess it was.
Now, did he take over for C.R. Hager?
No, not that. I don't think so. I don't know who was superintendent after Mr. Roberts died.
And you know, I'm thinking, I know C.R. was in there. We had David, his son, on one time, and he was talking about C.R. Hager was our superintendent when all the integration took place.
Well, Mr. Horn was superintendent.
Okay.
One year there, and I don't really know who was superintendent after that. But anyway, he was principal for 11 years, 12, 9 years, 10 years, and then he became superintendent, and he was that for 16 years.
Now, he was superintendent still during some pretty somewhat tough times, if you will, at the end of the 60s. Of course, segregation had already taken place. We had Jessamine County High open at that time. I guess by that time, some of the one-room schools had pretty much closed down. But as everybody knows, in the late 60s, it was turbulent times across this country, not just here, but everywhere, in a lot of ways. And so when he went into that, did he meet much problems, much controversy at that point in time when he took that job over?
No, there really wasn't. If he had him at school, he didn't tell me.
Mm-hmm.
But I had so many students. I was teaching privately, and I had so many students that they all seemed very happy. I did not have any African-American students,
mm-hmm.
but I taught for 1 year over at that school over at Coolidge.
Yeah, yeah.
I just taught 1 day a week and had the best time of my life. We sang Everything Under the Sun.
Wow.
And just had a real good time.
So you said he started superintendent in 68. Is that what you said?
Yes, I'm positive.
Okay. And how many years? And of course, I graduated in 80. I know he was superintendent then because he signed my diploma.
83.
So through 83. Do you ever remember, what was his favorite things about being a superintendent?
how he loved all the principals. Mm-hmm. You know, he liked to be around the principals, and he was just happy to have camaraderie and with all the people of Michigan County.
He was superintendent during, I guess, our really first big growth spurt. You had all these new schools. I mean, you had Warner come in. They built the junior high. Of course, I guess Jessamine County High was already established. Was he there when Rosenwald Dunbar? I'm talking about the elementary came in, maybe.
Yes. Yeah. Well, I guess they were still there. No, but maybe they had matriculated with the regular schools, but he was... he went when we were on double sessions.
Yes.
Oh, that was terrible. He would go to school at 6 o'clock in the morning, and Jerry was in senior high, and Cheryl was in junior high, and Tootie was in the elementary.
Wow.
Well, they different different times.
Well, yeah.
He'd leave at 6 o'clock and Jerry would leave it, and Tootie would leave at 8 o'clock, and Cheryl wouldn't leave until 1 o'clock in the afternoon.
You had a hard job, Mary Helen.
No, that was absolutely right. And it was a rat race, and that lasted for a whole year.
But you know, they had to do it. I mean, there was no choice. We had so many students, and we had that growth, as we said, that first growth spurt, that just this town blossomed, yeah. and there was no choice. I mean, you had to do that.
Yeah.
And I remember being involved in that. I was one of those county kids, so I got up early and went to school and got out early. But I remember they had students stuck everywhere.
Yeah.
I mean, there were buildings all over the place.
Yeah, it was just like, Tootie went to kindergarten at the Baptist Church.
Yeah.
Because they didn't have the big white building over behind there. I forgot what it was called. Well, anyway, instead of having fourth grade over there, instead of having kindergarten, they had fourth graders over there and two sessions of them. So it was hectic.
So the board, along with Buddy, had a major job trying to figure out not only the logistics of double session, but how to get us out of this.
And also, I hope I'm not stepping on any toes, but it was so terribly hard for them to get a raise in the school tax, you know. Get it raised up. Buddy went... He just suffered in agony trying to get that through, and it never did. While he was there, it didn't.
Never did go.
He didn't get to build the middle school.
Yeah.
They built that, and that was it.
Yeah, and when they built that one side, I call it the Beehive School, and I went there. First day it was ever opened, I was in fourth grade at Warner on the right side of the building, while those people in junior high were on the left side of the building.
Right.
And it mirrored, the layout mirrored, but what was weird about it is when you left, I never will forget, when you left sixth grade to go to seventh, even though the other side was mirrored, it was like starting over. And I guess between that... Between that and the fear of Leonard Cavell, which, by the way, turned out to be one of the best teachers I ever had,
right.
Going into junior high was scary for us guys.
Yeah, I would imagine it was. I didn't go out there very much, but I would get lost every time.
Yeah. And, of course, now that building is the home of the Jessamine Early Learning Village. And,
that's right.
And it's a very nice renovation. In fact, to make it easier, someone came up with the idea, and probably should have years ago, to paint colored walls and lines so that you'll know where you are and not get lost.
So with the doctor's offices now, they have these lines on the floors to which doctor you go to.
Do you think then, we was talking about some of the best things he liked about Superintendent, do you think then that the growth and the agony of trying to pay for it, that was that the part he liked the least?
I would say yes.
Yeah.
Yes, but he loved when he was superintendent, he just loved all the schools.
Mm-hmm.
And the principals. He just, I know we found a picture that they used at his burial at the, you know, where they make that, and they have pictures.
Yes, yes.
He is standing there with the four principals on their knees, looking up to him, and he's just laughing. He loved him. He really did.
Well, you know, Buddy was a people person. I had the pleasure and the honor of knowing him and being around him, and that's what it takes for a good educator. You have to have that personality to be able to get along with people, while on the other hand, be able to have a good stiff upper lip when you need to, because it's not an easy job. It's one of those jobs, the school board in general, that I don't know that I would ever want to tackle, because when you start dealing with people's prized possession, their children, it's sticky.
That's right. That's right. There was one lady back when he was principal, and she said that every time she went up to the school, he either had a mop in his hand or a handkerchief wiping one of the children's noses. he cared for the children and his building. He was proud of it. He was proud of the building, but it was very good.
When did we lose Buddy?
He died in 2007. I'll be 10 years this January.
In your opinion of his wife, and you, of course, were the closest person to him in his life, how do you think, if Buddy would want people to remember him in one or two words, what would you think he would say?
A great educator.
Yeah.
I know that's on his tombstone, I think. He said, great educator, loving father, and pop-pop. That was what the grandchildren called him.
Sounds to me like he was very pleased with how his life went.
Oh, I think he was. He was... Of course, he had the bypass surgery in 2006.
Yeah.
And then it went on into January, and then he had a stroke. And we lost him.
Yeah.
He was at peace with the Lord, and so he was a very religious person.
Mm-hmm.
And very active in the church, and he tried singing in the choir for a while, but he said that was a disaster.
So was that the one student you couldn't teach, Mary Helen?
Well, yes.
Well, if you look at the whole picture, from his education, his career, his church work, I know he loved to golf. I guess he probably went to his reward a blessed man, didn't he?
He did.
Yeah.
Yes, he did.
And a lot of people aren't that lucky to be able to look back at their life and say, you know, there may have been a few things I'd do different, but all in all, it went like I wanted it to.
Yeah.
He was a good fella, and he meant a lot to our education system here in Jessamine County. Right. And I know you know that. Buddy was given lots of accolades during his career, and remembered by a bunch of people, and there's a lot of people in this county that still remember him very fondly.
I know. It's just hard for me to just realize that it's unfair of people, good people and everything, to die and then leave the ones of us behind after.
Yeah, but you can be proud that they left the legacy they did.
I am.
Yeah.
Very, very proud.
Yeah. Well, you know, our time is drawn to an end. I appreciate you taking time to talk to us a little bit about Buddy. I know we could talk for a long time about it, but he was certainly a very nice fellow. I always appreciated seeing him, as I do you. But I know he made great contributions to our education system, and even getting us where we are today. You know, you have to look back at people like him and Hattie Warner and Roland Roberts and C.R. Hager and all those people that laid foundations all along the way. And our current superintendents are doing that too, laying foundations for the future. And you just have to appreciate the work they did.
I think so. I appreciate you having this, Doug, for for everybody to hear that wants to.
Yeah. You take care of yourself, Mary Helen.
Thank you very much.
Okay.
My thanks to Mary Helen Adams for coming in this morning and talking about her husband, Buddy, and what he meant to our education system here in Jessamine County. We appreciate you coming in every Saturday morning also. We'll do it again next week, right here on your Jessamine County radio station, Jess FM 105.9.
Beginnings are important, especially when it comes to building a future. From start to finish, Farmers Bank of Jessamine County will be with you every step of the way. Whether it's a house, a car, a college fund, or saving for retirement, it all starts here. Stop by any of our four convenient Jessamine County locations today or visit us on the web at myfarmersbank.net. Banking with friends and neighbors, Farmers Bank of Jessamine County, Equal Housing Lender, Member FDIC.